is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Dr. Ken Croswell, author of The Alchemy of the Heavens, Searching for Meaning in the Milky Way, to take us to the Milky Way, a galactic enterprise Ken has long admired as beautiful, and he now writes in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, a revelation about the Milky Way, about our place in it, our solar system. Ken, a very good evening to you. And the Milky Way is a spiral galaxy, but to do some history, the revelations of spiral galaxy, you date to the mid-19th century, the Whirlpool Galaxy. And that was some time before we could perceive our own galaxy because we're inside that spill of stars across the sky. What did the Whirlpool Galaxy teach us? What does it mean to be a spiral galaxy? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. The Whirlpool Galaxy is a stunning spiral galaxy. It's still one of the most beautiful galaxies we know. And there's a picture of it, a great picture from Hubble, that appears in my article in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. We discovered a spiral structure in 1845, or I should say Lord Rosse in Ireland was the first to make out the spiral structure of that galaxy. And soon after, he discovered a number of other spiral nebulae. That's what they were called back then. We now know that those are other galaxies that resemble our own, located well beyond the Milky Way. And almost from the start, a lot of astronomers speculated that the Milky Way might be a spiral galaxy, but it was only a century later that they were able to prove that. In the early 1950s, as I tell the story in my book, The Alchemy of the Heavens, William Morgan at Yerkes Observatory in Wisconsin and his colleagues plotted the positions of young stars and the gas clouds that give birth to those stars. And he was able to make out the three nearest spiral arms. Now, let me explain something. The spiral arms give birth to new stars. So if you want to trace out the spiral arms, then you need to trace out the youngest stars. And you see that in other galaxies, for example, the Andromeda Galaxy or the Whirlpool Galaxy. The young stars, the very youngest stars, they are arising out of those spiral arms, okay? And those spiral arms contain gas. The gas glows pink and red, and the hottest and the brightest of the, most of the brightest stars are blue. So if you look at that Hubble picture of the Whirlpool Galaxy, you'll see its arms are glowing both blue and pink. And the same thing happens in the Milky Way. So what William Morgan did was he mapped out the gas clouds, these pink gas clouds called ionized hydrogen regions, mapped out their positions, did the best he could to ascertain their distances by measuring and observing the hot blue stars in those pink gas clouds, and that's how he made his discovery in the early 1950s.
There are three arms that are important here to put our place in the galaxy. We're going around the center of the galaxy. Ken reminds me it takes, what's that, again, 238 million years, Ken, to go all the way around the galactic center?
About 230 million years. That's our best estimate. So that's one orbit around the galaxy. That's the equivalent of our year, you might say. It's a galactic year. Just as the Earth takes 1 year to go around the Sun takes about 230 million years to complete an orbit around the galactic center.
But our Sun is now considered to be in the local arm, which is also called the Orion arm. There is another arm closer to the galactic center called the Sagittarius arm. There's another arm farther away from the galactic center called the Perseus arm. We're in the local arm, or Orion arm, but here's the puzzle. Ken, are we always in the local arm, Orion arm, or are we passing through it? How do we observe our place in the galaxy?
The Sun has been around for 4.5 billion years, and in that time, it has presumably passed through other arms in our galaxy. So we're not a permanent resident of the local arm. Only a very short-lived star, such as the very most massive stars, would die in the same arm that they're born in. And that's why those very massive stars are what astronomers like to use to map spiral arms, because they're basically guaranteed not to have left their birthplaces. But the Sun has surely passed through other spiral arms during its long life, And for that matter, these spiral arms, we don't even know if they're permanent. You know, you come back in a billion or 2 billion years, you may find different spiral arms in the Milky Way. The spiral arms may be kind of like waves on an ocean. You know, they come and they go. Right, what we know right now is that we've got the spiral arms that we see. But they could be quite different a billion years from now, or they may have been quite different a billion years ago.
Our spiral arm, the local arm, the Orion arm, is it a nursery for new stars and new planets to our knowledge?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. In fact, it the name Orion arm was first introduced in 1954 after the Orion Nebula, which is a member of the local arm or Orion arm. The Orion Nebula is giving birth to new stars. It's a cloud of gas and dust, and you can see it with the naked eye in the constellation Orion. So, yes, our arm is quite vigorous. It's got a lot of star birth. And so, yeah, we're helping make the whole Milky Way shine.
The reason we are learning more and more is because we've moved from optical telescopes in the 19th and 20th century to radio telescopes. What has this taught us about our galaxy? First of all, we can see it, but what has this taught us about where we are in our galaxy?
Well, the great thing about radio telescopes, there's actually a couple things. First, the new observations are incredibly precise because radio astronomers can link their telescopes up into these vast arrays that span continents, and that gives them the ability to measure really precise distances of stars, including the young stars, the very young newborn stars that line the spiral arms. Okay, so you get just exquisite precision, as I explained in the article in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. The second thing that's really nice about radio waves is they penetrate the dust in space. The dust in space blocks visible light. Now, that's not a big problem if you're trying to map things locally, so it's not a huge problem for studying the local arm, but it does become a bigger and bigger problem as you go away from the solar neighborhood. So those are the two big advantages of radio astronomy. However, having said that, there is an optical spacecraft up there right now that has contributed to this story, and that is the Gaia spacecraft, and it has mapped out lots and lots of young stars within many thousands of light years of the sun, and it too establishes very precise distances to stars. So it's a combination of both the radio astronomy and the optical astronomy that has allowed us to better map our part of the galaxy.
What is a maser parallax that the radio astronomy helps us map?
Oh, maser parallaxes are absolutely fantastic. They are super precise distances that we get to some of the newborn stars. They are the microwave equivalent of lasers, alrighty? So here's what happens. You've got a young star, maybe just 10,000 years old, so it's guaranteed to be in a spiral arm, a very massive star. And it's so energetic that it excites the electrons in, for example, water molecules. And as those electrons lose their energy, they shoot out microwaves in what are called masers, which is just the microwave equivalent of a laser. And the nice thing about that is the radio telescopes can observe those masers and over the course of the year measure the parallax of the maser. Okay, very precisely, because, again, radio astronomers have the wonderful ability to construct these huge arrays that span continents. Okay, now what's a parallax? Well, a parallax tells you the distance. As the Earth goes around the sun, our perspective on any star in the sky changes slightly, and that change is inversely proportional to its distance. So the smaller the change, the smaller the parallax, the farther the star. And because radio astronomers can measure such very precise positions of these masers, they can detect these parallaxes and hence distances of these young stars and use them to map out spiral arms, even on the other side of the galaxy, not just on our side, but the other side of the galaxy, too.
There are revelations from maser parallaxes, and we're going to speak to those, but I want to go over a point about the galaxy through these 200 years. The Orion arm is significant. It's large. But I think you report that at one point the astronomers who observed where we are in the Milky Way believed that we were part of a minor spur, a minor arm?
Yes.
Why did they think that, and how did we get upgraded or promoted?
Well, the question of why is an amusing one. I have my own theory. But anyway, in the 1950s, William Morgan and his colleagues, they said we were in an arm, okay? But then later work by some other astronomers downgraded us, saying we were just a spur off another arm, or we were not even in that. We were simply in the dark between the Sagittarius arm and the Perseus arm. So there was nothing terribly special about our locale. But in the last 10 years, the local arm has been revived. And that's really what my story in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences is about, is that there is now no doubt that we are in an arm. And the preferred term these days is now local arm rather than Orion arm, but it's the same thing. It's the same thing that William Morgan saw. I suspect that perhaps the reason that William Morgan got this right back in the 50s is that he knew the constellations. Many professional astronomers do not know the constellations, which may come as a surprise to you. But I think anyone who knows the constellations will probably appreciate that we're probably in something fairly major in the Milky Way. And I suspect that some of the astronomers who suggested that we were in between two different spiral arms, that probably these are astronomers who did not know the night sky terribly well, as many professional astronomers do not.
The local arm is very significant. And when we come back, the discoveries about our local arm. We are a beautiful solar system inside a beautiful galaxy, but it turns out we might be part of a beautiful arm. Ken Croswell, writing most recently at the Inner Workings, astronomers are redrawing our corner of the Milky Way for the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences of the USA. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.